you're ready. This is Bob Suddy, Special Magistrate. I'm with the Citrus County Evaluation Adjustment Board. It's December 20th, 2013, and we have 5 petitions scheduled for 1 o'clock, and it's just about 3 minutes before 1. Tiffany White was notified that the petitioner was not to attend, but requested all 5 petitions. They requested, Tiffany?
Yes, sir.
Requested all 5 petitions, 177, 178, 179, 180, 181, be heard in absentia. And we have 4 people from the property appraiser's office, and I'm going to ask them to raise their right hand and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you God.
I do.
Okay, for my benefit,
Micheline Frank with the property appraiser's office.
Yeah, we met.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
I got to write this down. And then
John Steele Fox.
Yeah. And you two folks are real property?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Gwen Kleiber.
Okay.
Tangible personal property.
And?
Les Cook.
And you're the boss, Les?
Yes, sir. Not the boss, but
Anything we don't know, ask him.
a boss, anyhow. Do I have evidence?
It's scanned into the
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I
bet you got it. I'm supposed to be R. Suddy, and my password is RS267.
Exclamation point.
Okay, do I need a lowercase?
I think it's all lowercase.
Tonight.
Absolutely.
I did it right. I think I'll just click on today's date.
Okay, thank you.
You have to click on the date.
Oh, yeah. It seems to me like we have more and more days.
Yeah. And then these will bring up the images for each of those petitions and everything that's scanned to them. This is an additional copy for you to take with you.
We'll have to have a whole new department just for doing that. Because that'll open it up worldwide.
Did you guys have contact with anybody from Winn-Dixie?
Mm-hmm.
Who
yes,
was
sir.
It?
The gal's name is K. Allison Hunt. K. Allison, A-L-I-S-O-N, Hunt, H-U-N-T.
Got a title?
No. I know she's with Assessment Technologies.
Okay.
She doesn't have a title from what I see. It just says agent.
I'm just looking to see what I have here.
She signs it that way, too, so I don't think...
Yes, it should be on the evidence that was scanned, because it's on her letterhead.
Right here, Tiffany.
Actually, this is signed by Dave Young.
Dave Young, that's the tangible.
Okay. Yeah, I see a correspondence from Allison. Oh, these are just annual?
Yes.
Okay.
But the commercial one is scanned.
Yeah, I'm looking.
It starts on page 12.
going through, not seeing much.
What evidence did they provide to you?
This is the evidence that they provided to us, which basically was a letter with authorization that they have for acting as agent, and a sales grid with four pictures. That's what we received.
I didn't see this. I didn't see the sales grid.
It looks like two pages worth of stuff.
This is the beginning of their evidence that they submitted to us, and which I emailed to Micheline, and she verified it's the same thing that she had.
But when I scanned through this, I didn't see a sales chart and four photos.
It's very small. You might.
Looks like the last two, well, no, it isn't the last two.
The last two pages?
Last two, three pages.
That was it. That was it.
Those are photographs?
Show him the hard copy, Micheline.
Okay.
We'll show you the hard copy.
Wow. I thought they were cartoons.
This is the sales grid that I was referring to, which you have there, and then these are the photos, which.
The photos don't.
They don't come out very well. Actually, let me see if I have the color. I don't know if I printed the color or not.
Yeah, there, I apologize. There's the sales chart right there.
It's, yeah, it's a little small.
I honestly thought those were some type of.
Yeah, here you go.
Yeah, here's the color ones.
We'll only charge you $5 a piece to look at.
If you'll pay my tolls, we'll break even.
If you promise to trade it back to me, because I have my stuff scanned, so I'll just need it back. But you can have that if you want. I'll just switch the black and white copies.
Okay.
If that's okay.
All right.
Those are the colored ones.
Let me get the property appraisers to, we're on the record. Did you consider the evidence that the petitioner provided?
Yes, sir, we did.
And do you have some comments regarding their evidence?
I have.
Rebuttal type of stuff?
I have our package, and I also have rebuttal.
Right.
Okay.
So, would you like that now?
Yeah, I'd like to have us discuss what they submitted and your rebuttal evidence first, if that's okay.
That's fine. That's fine. Here's the property record card, and this is the rebuttal that we submitted, which they also received a copy of the rebuttal. We sent that to them, along with our evidence packet.
Okay. The requested value for the record's $1,834,000. And they submitted a comparable sales chart. Are there five sales on here?
Actually, there are four sales and one listing.
And
one of the sales is in 2013.
Okay.
June.
All right. Let's go, because you have it here, but for the record, what are your comments regarding their sales and their listings?
Okay, actually, on comp number one, that they're showing is in Alachua County. That particular sale was an REO asset from a bank, and the deed actually in lieu of foreclosure where the bank got it back was only in September of 2012. The sale date of the comparable, again, is June 21st, 2013, which is after our January 1
and the
date.
Bank got it back when?
The bank actually received it September 27th, 2012.
Okay. And we're picking up her loud and clear. Do we know we care? Good. All right. So
we did not feel like that was a comparable sale. Comp number two actually is in Citrus County.
Now let me be older.
Okay.
You didn't like one because it was 2013, or did you have other reasons?
The 2013 is one of the reasons, and the other reason is that it's an REO asset from a bank sale.
So REO,
which is unqualified sale.
REO and the date.
The date of the sale is actually the date of the sale was June 21st, 2013. The actual deed in lieu of foreclosure was on September 27th, 2012, where they actually got it. And this is our rebuttal, so you can kind of follow along what I'm saying.
I like to listen to you
better. Oh, okay. Okay, that's fine.
It's more fun.
Okay.
Okay. Sale two?
Sale two is from, again, it's Citrus County sale. This particular sale is a community shopping center. And actually, we used comp number two.
You did?
Yes, we did.
Do we like that one?
Yep, let me just make sure, pretty sure we did.
Well, we'll get to your evidence.
Okay.
Sale number three.
Sale number three.
Is that a closed Walmart?
It's a former Walmart. It was closed, yes, sir.
Walmart still owns it, and they've just leased up some space at Tractor Supply.
But it's for sale now?
Yes.
Or was it for sale January?
It was, yes, sir.
So it was for sale in January of 13. And they're asking $3 million. Okay. Any comments about sale number three?
Well, we were talking, evidently, both parties were discussing and looking at our comps of being freestanding retail, which is what our subject is, which is a little difficult to find. That actually is located in a plaza. So, and the Walmart was in fair condition when sold.
Okay.
And,
Well, we're just talking about the listing now, right? Just the listing?
Yes.
Yes, sir, that is the listing.
How much earlier than that did that sell?
I'm sorry, it wasn't a sale, it was leased out. Excuse me, leased out. It is leased now, but we do not know what that lease.
Okay.
It hasn't sold. And some of the previous Walmart stuff that we've historically seen, they regulate the sales based on who they allow to go back in there, who to buy. So we kind of feel like it has a reflection on even the listing day, so
mm-hmm.
listing price.
Okay, any comments about their sale four?
Comp four is a Marion County sale. It was actually an unqualified sale, according to the property appraiser site in Marion County. The actual space was built in 1989, and actually I like to refer back to comp three, the construction date, or excuse me, it was actually built in 1987.
When was our subject built?
Our subject was actually built in 1992.
All right. Anything else regarding sale four?
Okay. It's also in a community shopping center.
It's in a center? Is it freestanding in a center, or is it attached?
Not to my notes. I'll take a double look and see. Yeah, I mentioned that was built in 1989.
Was it remodeled in 1995? Their little chart's got a year of construction, 1989, then the / R, 1995.
I don't have a note on that, so that must be accurate. Yes, sir. And again, that was an unqualified sale.
What's that?
Was an unqualified sale. Marion County, number five, comp number five.
And then sale five.
Sale five is also an unqualified sale.
And that's unqualified per the property appraiser in Marion County?
Yes, sir.
All right, anything else?
That is also, it's located in a community shopping center.
What's the address of our store?
Our store is 6405.
Yeah, I can see it now on the chart.
West Gulf to Lake.
And that, would you say that's a freestanding Winn-Dixie?
Yes.
They have a pharmacy?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Liquor store?
I don't think so, no.
No.
No, they do not.
I'm not sure any of our grocery stores have liquor stores.
Any other comments about the petitioner's sale number five?
No, so other than it's an unqualified sale, was built in 1984, and it's in a community shopping center. No, sir.
Okay, any other comments about your rebuttal evidence that you just gave me?
Angel, what's on this page? Are we gonna talk about that?
That's the second page, the rebuttals, and that's, I guess I can bring that up now, but that basically supports the rent that we've used.
Okay, so you've got 1, 2, 3, 4 rent comps that support your rent?
On the rebuttal, yes, sir.
Any contact with anybody about this property? Any discussions?
I called Allison and basically told her that I would be sending her my evidence and my rebuttal, and
But there was no communication?
No.
Okay.
No, sir. I mean, we do send our income letters every year, which we did not receive any income from them.
We send the letters out for every property in January and ask for them to be returned by the end of April so we can review any leases or rents or typical expenses.
Any history of them supplying information?
Never.
No, sir. Okay. As a matter of fact, we do know that this is leased. It's referenced in her correspondence that she refers to. However, we did not receive an income. Actually, we haven't received income in 3 years. Make sure. Yes, zero income.
All right. The note at the bottom, it says notes last remodeled 11/2/95.
Yes, sir.
Is that we're talking about the subject building, the 6405 building?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I didn't know Winn-Dixie leased their stores out to other people.
I'm not sure if that was part of when Bylow bought it or not. I don't know.
If you look at their evidence that they submitted, I don't think you have, I think it's on the letter itself. Actually, it might be on the first
We've
page.
Never gotten any lease information from them to indicate who's the owner.
See, I want to look at the letter that it refers to the lease that
the
they have.
The name is under Southland, Crystal River.
Yes, it is in their correspondence dated October 10th.
October 10th?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
wow,
sir.
I'm looking at a correspondence from October 10th.
And
is the Winn-Dixie store is a single tenant project? Is that how it starts out?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And then it's referring to that there's no lease renewal and that their actual lease expires in 2014. So we do know the subject is leased, but we're never given any lease information from them.
And I'm told Bylow was moving their headquarters to Jacksonville.
That's what I understand.
Yeah, pretty good for Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for the nice pictures.
You're welcome.
So one of their photos is sale five, I guess. It says Oak Brook Plaza, 2604. And then it's got the Sweet Bay Supermarket, so that's sale one. And then the Homosassa Square, which is sale two. And the former Walmart, sale three. And then the Friendship is sale four. And the subject has that store way back from the road. Wow.
There's an out parcel up in the front. So for future expansion, they put it there.
Okay. Is that part of the taxable property? The land that goes all the way out to the road?
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. Sir. And there is a lighted corner.
Okay. I've reviewed the evidence provided by the petitioner and listened to the property appraiser's rebuttal evidence. And if you want to walk me through what your value is and what your basis for it is, that would be good.
Okay. For petition number 177, the name of the petitioner is Southland Crystal River, Winn-Dixie. The subject is located at 64.
Do I have a copy of your evidence?
Oh, I'm sorry. See, I'm out of sorts. Oops.
Is that yours?
Yes. Please.
And Tiffany, this is just the tangible here. Okay. Thank
That's
you.
That's our evidence. And this is our property record card.
Okay.
The subject is located at 6405 West Gulf to Lake Highway in Crystal River. Subject property has 386,985 square feet of commercial zoned land. There's a building of 45,844 square feet, freestanding retail supermarket. The highest and best use is vacant as a retail supermarket and as improved retail supermarket. The subject property was last inspected on January 26, 2008. After considering all three approaches and the eighth criterion of 193.011, the value was derived by our office to be $2,111,279. The market value of this property complies with Florida Statute 193.011 that establishes the eighth criterion used to derive just market value. In deriving the just valuation of our CAMA system, considers all eight factors as set forth. Once our office maintains a database of all properties in Citrus County, which contains data for their individual property characteristics and sales history. During the appraisal process, this data is input into our CAMA system, which enables us to stratify, analyze, adjust values for use, location, quality, cost, condition, size, age, and time of sale. Mass appraisal is a professionally accepted appraisal practice and is appropriate for the development of the value of the subject. To further establish our presumption of correctness pursuant to Florida Statute 193.031, subsection 1, we have entered into the record a sampling of market data that supports our just market value. The packet we have put together is merely an example of market data considered that supports our market value. In our evidence package, I'm just going to briefly go through. Page number 3 of our packet is where we are showing all three approaches, the sales, the income, and our cost approach. Most weight on this property that was put on was the income approach, which shows, again, our value of $2,111,279. We did take the eighth criterion cost factor involved, which have been all adjusted by the 85%. The subject property, again, just to review, was built in 1982 with an effective year of 1992.
Did they remodel it? No, you've got 92. Okay, thank you.
The subject property is located on page 4. You'll see where the subject property picture of it is the freestanding retail with the lighted corner and the out parcel, as you see on our picture on page 4. The traffic count is between 15,000 and 30,000 of our subject. Page 5, again, is a little closer picture so you can see how the subject is laid out. with the lighted corner and out parcel.
Just for the fun of it, the other land that's vacant along the highway, that's not a part of an out parcel?
We don't have that on our, here's the.
See what the picture.
Yeah.
I think it's a DRA.
Yeah, I think that's what you had told me when we talked about it.
There's only the one out parcel.
They had to keep that for density? They had to keep this?
Yeah, it's a DRA.
What does that mean?
Drainage retention area, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this in the Metacresta?
Yes.
That's a master plan community there, so it was one big plan. That might be why they had to use that as a DRA. There's other uses within that master plan.
Okay, thank you.
Doesn't really say anything.
Our cost approach was on page 7 of our package.
Incidentally, your page numbers are wonderful.
Thank you.
A lot of times, the property appraisers number their pages, and it's difficult to follow. This is good. Thank you.
The next page, page 8, shows again our comparable sales, and this is for the land grid with the adjustments that we have made for market conditions. And if there was a size or economy of scale, there was an adjustment, which supports our land value. Pictures of our comps are on pages 9, 10, and 11 for our land. Page 12 shows an area map of how far our subject and our comps are, so you have an idea. Page 13 shows our comparable sales grid. And most of our comps that we used, actually I shouldn't say most of them, we have the three comps, two of the comps were in a shopping center. However, on comp number 2, I'd like to point out that it was it's a freestanding department store. We know that that was brought up in their correspondence with us, so I wanted to point that out on comp 2.
It was a operating department store or a closed department store?
Let me just take a quick look. Comp number 2.
Kmart?
Yes. Yes, sir. It was operating.
It was operating?
Yes, sir.
Best as we can tell, yeah.
From what I can tell from the picture, yes, sir.
Okay.
We have 2 freestanding grocery stores in the county, so to try to find comparable sales in the county is extremely difficult, so. The reasoning we have to go outside.
Well, comp number 1 is in Citrus County, and then the other 2 are outside of Citrus mm-hmm. County. And we did do location adjustments on comps 2 and 3 to be more conservative on the location.
We put all our weight on the income approach, so this is just supportive.
Okay.
On pages 14, 15, and 16, it does show a picture of our comps that we used for the sales. Along with that, on page 18, it shows the distance between the subject and our comparables. On page 17, one page back from the map, it shows freestanding retail listings that we've also given.
Which of these comps did they use?
I believe it was the Home Assassa comp number 1.
Okay.
It's the Sweet Bay.
Yes.
They used the Sweet Bay. And I also used the Sweet Bay.
All right.
And there were no adjustments on that other than the market adjustment because the sale was in 2010. Anyway, it does show our freestanding retail listings on page 17, and I did highlight the last comparable is a free, again, freestanding retail building, and that one is in Inverness, which is located in Citrus County. The other three are outside of Citrus County.
Titusville, wow. I'm doing work in Brevard County. Titusville was different. Okay.
Yeah, the fourth comp is in Inverness. Page 19 is our income approach, which again is, as John stated, which is where we place most of our value.
Okay.
We're showing $7 a square foot for this freestanding retail.
Mm-hmm.
Again, just wanted to point out we didn't have their income submitted to us.
So if I, you have no Winn-Dixie information anywhere about income and expenses because they're not cooperating.
Right.
Yeah.
Which forces us to use comparable counties or anything from any national publications or internet.
I understand.
And again, we ask for the information, give them every opportunity, but you know, we still have to put the value on there, of course.
Page 20 shows the anchored shopping centers, the anchored shopping centers.
Do you want to say anything else about page 19?
Other than we are showing our potential gross income of $320,908. We have given them vacancy, a 5% vacancy and collection. We've also showed them as a 20% of expenses with a 3% reserve. Our overall cap rate is at 9.45, which is also supported in our package, which we haven't gotten to yet.
Okay.
And we did apply the eighth criterion down on statute 193.011 for the value at $2,111,279.
And we do recognize most of these are triple net leases, but we do still consider some vacancies and expenses.
Yeah, if it was triple net, the lessee'd be paying the taxes, right? Yeah. All right.
Page 20, again, is just our overall of where the rent rates are at and our cap rates.
That's very good.
Where we received our information. As John stated, we do do a sampling of all over so that we can assess the property with them.
Would our store be a Group A or a Group B?
I think when we had looked at this, John.
It fits into the category of B minus C plus.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Publix is the A. Sweet Bay, Winn-Dixie, B, Save-A-Lot, C.
Sweet Bay's out of where? Where are they headquartered?
Oh, I'm not sure.
They were headquartered in the Carolinas, but they've just been purchased by Winn-Dixie by Lowe, so they're
really?
Out of Jacksonville mm-hmm. also.
Wow, it's kind of like the banks buying each other.
And they were talking about shutting down the Sweet Bays and converting them to Winn-Dixie's. It was in paper not too long ago.
Yeah. But the distribution will be out of Jacksonville.
Yeah. Anything else on page 20?
No, sir. That pretty much sums up our package with
You said you have support for your cap rate somewhere.
It's on the same page, okay. I believe.
Yeah, down at the bottom.
I apologize.
We do internet searches and
there's realty mailings. Rates. All yours, Marcus and Milton.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Down the bottom of page 20.
So, everything that we do for this on page 20, where you see the means and the medians for the vacancies and the rents, and we do collect that from internet and the shopping centers that do send stuff in. So past 10, 15 years, we've been collecting this information and keeping it up to date. So we're not just really looking at the last three. It's been something that's been kept up for year after year.
Can we do the physical?
Oh, yeah. We also do a vacancy check, physical vacancy check, twice a year. We go in January and in July. And that helps us keep up with what the physical occupancy is.
That's good, too.
Yes.
Okay. You folks have any other comments regarding this particular petition?
No, sir. Other than I'd just like to state that on the comparables that they had given us, there were no adjustments. And out of the comparables that they have given us, again, we have a 2013 sale, one listing, two unqualified, or three. So I think our evidence stands for itself to support our value.
And they didn't give you any income analysis at all?
No, sir. They did not give us an income analysis.
Okay.
Or a cost analysis.
I was just going to say we feel that after following all the criteria in 193, we feel that we've maintained the presumption of correctness, and we don't feel that there is a preponderance of evidence on their half to override our assessment.
All right. Well, unless anyone else has anything else to comment on, let's temporarily end our discussion for petition 177, and my real property appraisers can have the rest of the day off.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Just go right home.
Yeah.
And the boss heard that.
Take Tiffany with you.
Check with the property
appraiser
when
you
get
back.
He'll
let us go.
I'm just going to take my
phone. Can I have a black and white one then?
Yes, I'm going to give you the black and white one.
Why do you need that back?
We have it scanned and received for our evidence.
Okay, can you make a copy of that? Because I wrote some notes.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah.
Ms. Lane, do we have that in an email?
Hang on just a minute. Let me just... I wrote my notes on there. That's why I was... Well, actually, what I can do, you wrote your notes on the pictures only, right? That's what it looks like.
I guess so.
Yes. I'm sorry. Just making sure. How about we do this? I've got my scribbling on here.
These are always nice. They used to get those when you had them in the store.
This is the black and white copy that I was going to give you, and then your notes are on there. Is that okay?
Thank you.
Okay.
Tiffany, if I were a paperclip, where would I be?
Not here.
How about this?
That's a good answer. I guess if I was scotch tape, I'd be there too.
No, there's paper.
Is it not?
I'll leave you an extra one in case you need it.
All right, thank you. We have a new visitor.
Hi.
Name, please.
Robert Christensen.
Are you going to provide any information, Mr. Christensen?
No. I can assure you I won't be providing any information. I'm the attorney for the property appraiser's office.
All right. You sure you're not going to say anything?
I'm able to control myself. Not most attorneys can. But
raise your right hand. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, something you got.
I certainly do.
All right. We're still recording, aren't we, Tiffany?
Yes.
Okay. We have concluded temporarily my consideration of the Winn-Dixie real property parcel, which is identified as petition 177. And on the same tape, we're going to talk about four petitions involving tangible personal property. And those are petitions 178, 179, 180, and 181. And I have got a rubber band around some information.
If I may?
Yes.
In the evidence I'm going to give you, their evidence is already cataloged in here.
Okay.
If that would make it easier for
you.
Yeah,
that would be better.
Okay. I'll open it right to their evidence if you'd like to start off with.
Well, probably I'm going to have you walk me through their evidence whenever you want to do it.
Okay.
And then whatever your preference is, if you want to do what we just did or do it reverse order, it's, you know, whatever you'd like to do is fine.
There you go. These are my opening statements. I would also like to request, since it's four petitions for the same, and there's a lot of repetitiveness, that we hear them as one, but consider the values separately.
I think that's an excellent idea. I think that's excellent.
Okay. And if it's, when you're ready, I'm ready.
Yeah. Okay. We've agreed we're going to talk about all four petitions at the same time, but at some point separately talk about the values for each of the four properties. So go ahead and take the lead and
Okay. Start
off and tell me whatever you want to tell me.
We have four petitions, number 178, 179, 180, and 181. The stores are located in Homosassa, Beverly Hills, Crystal River, and Inverness.
Yeah, let me do this once I find my sheet of paper again. Let's go through 178's located.
Homosassa, and I'll give you the values.
Go ahead.
Okay, the total just value for that one is $1,436,624.
$1,436,624?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay, 179 is in Beverly Hills.
Well, hold on, are there any exemptions for that
person? Yes, I'm sorry, $25,000 exemption.
Okay, so minus 25.
Right.
And the second one is?
It's Beverly Hills.
All right.
And the value is $1,046,767. I always read that incorrectly.
And that's got an exemption too, right?
Yes, sir.
Third one's located?
In Meadowcrest, Crystal River. Crystal
okay.
River. And that value is $406,268.
268?
Yes, please. And it's got the $25,000.
All right, and the last one.
Last one is located in Inverness, and the value is $912,584 with the exemption.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's, with your permission, let's talk about store one when we get around to it, store two, store three, and store four.
Okay.
That'll help us to identify them.
For all of the stores, the assessment of the tangible personal property was developed through the property appraiser's computer-assisted mass appraisal, or CAMA, system. Mass appraisal is a professionally accepted appraisal practice and is appropriate to use for these accounts. Per Section 195.027, Section 4A of the Florida Statutes, the legislature directed the Department of Revenue to require a return of tangible personal property. In Citrus County, we call it the CC-405. The information required to be on the return is information that is needed to develop a value estimate using the cost approach. There is no reason to doubt the validity of the information provided on the original 2013 tangible personal property return submitted by this petitioner on March 26, 2013. Any tangible personal property exemptions to which the taxpayer is entitled have been granted. All eight factors to be considered by the property appraiser have been considered in the development of this appraisal. So, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I read fast. Present cash value. The taxpayer is required to report the original installed cost on the CC 405. These costs are adjusted to replacement costs new by the use of the equipment index factors. The equipment index factors include adjustments to base prices and reflect the direction of cost movements. These equipment index factors are listed by year and reflect the national average of industrial, commercial, and manufacturing business costs. That's in the TPP guidelines on page 41. The equipment index factors are compiled by the Florida Department of Revenue annually and are based on cost indexes as published by Marshall Valuation Service and summary data from the Producer Price Index news release, as issued by the U.S. Department of Labor, Bureau of Labor Statistics. By applying these equipment index factors and the FDOR untrended depreciation schedule, we arrive at fair market value, also known as present cash value. Highest and best use. Since the taxpayer is using the tangible personal property to conduct its business, it is appropriate to assume the present use of the property will continue, and this is the highest and best use of the property as of January 1. Location. The location is required on the CC 405. We assess the tangible personal property as it is at its situs locations as indicated by the business owner. Quantity or size.
What's the 591
address? That's a typo. I just read that. That's not supposed to be there. That's a different petition, and I forgot to change the address.
No, we just crossed it out.
Yeah. It's on all four of them, and that's incorrect. Yeah. Okay. Quantity or size. The taxpayer renders the cost of the assets on the CC 405. The quantity and or size of tangible personal property are reflected in this reported cost. We have no reason to contest or doubt the quantity and size factor implied by the taxpayer's return. The tangible tax return was accepted by our office. It's on the back side.
So they did submit their tangible returns?
Yes, they sent us their original return in March of 2013. Oh, yes. They did also send in their evidence an amended return, which we rejected.
When did you get that?
In November of 2013.
Okay, go ahead.
Cost and present replacement value. If you just flip the page over, it's on the back side. By using the cost provided by the taxpayer and following the TPP guidelines for applying index and untrended depreciation tables, TPP guidelines page 40, we are able to estimate the replacement value. Condition: the taxpayer is to provide this information on the CC 405. If requested by the taxpayer, the condition can and will be reviewed in the field by the property appraiser's office. Income: of the three approaches to value, cost, market, and income, income is considered the least likely due to many difficulties in extracting intangible costs such as trademarks, copyrights, trade secrets, goodwill, non-compete agreements, etc. However, if a taxpayer provides income data, particularly in instances where an income stream related to the specific tangible asset can be quantified, such as leased or rented equipment, we are more than willing to give it consideration. In this instance, the taxpayer did not provide this information. Net proceeds of sale. If the transaction is in fact an arm's length transaction, then this can be an excellent source of information. However, care must be taken to ensure that, in fact, an arm's-length transaction has taken place and that the supposed sale is not an allocation, liquidation, auction sale price, distressed sale, etc. The property appraiser's office always tries to identify the cost of sale when valuing tangible property in our county. The net proceeds of the sale of the property is something that we would consider, but personal property doesn't normally have the cost of sale that real estate has. Personal property typically doesn't have attorney fees, closing costs, recording fees, brokerage commissions, dock stamps, etc. The cost of sale is to be considered, but it would be improper to subtract a fee that wasn't included. When tangible property is sold, the seller is often under some form of duress. Such transactions are not indicative of fair market or just value. There are no usual and reasonable fees and costs of the sale to consider. No adjustment is required. In conclusion, we use the cost approach to value. We use the costs supplied by the taxpayer. We have to stay equitable to all similar taxpayers. We considered all approaches to the value. We didn't use the income approach because the income attributable to only the TPP as it relates to the income from the equipment is difficult to isolate and extract from an income stream. No income information was provided by petitioner. The property appraiser must assess the fair market value of the tangible personal property of thousands of businesses each year. It is not logistically possible to undertake a fee appraisal for each taxpayer each year. The property appraiser must rely on mass appraisal techniques to accomplish their constitutional requirements. The property appraiser considered the eight criteria and accepted the tangible tax return as filed using the appropriate guidelines. We would therefore request our assessed value be accepted as fair market value.
Okay, here's a couple lines up from the bottom. The tangible tax return is the March of 13.
March of 2013, yes.
Right.
Okay, so then to move to the book, just so I can explain to you, and we can go wherever you want, but the petitions are labeled 178, 179, 180, and 181 on the yellow tabs in the book.
Okay, I have four copies of what you just
yes,
read.
Yes, one for each a petition.
And I can cross off LeCanto.
Yes, you can, on all four of them.
I'm going to do that.
We need a program that says find all mistakes.
I was checking on where to stay over here, and the best thing I could find, I haven't done yet, was the Holiday Inn Express in LeCanto.
That's yeah. Pretty much it, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so the book is broken into the different petitions, and the sections within those sections are specific to that return, to that petition. So,
right.
Like, pages 10 to 59 is the actual return received in March of 2013. And
10 to 59?
Yeah, the orange tab there. Your first orange tab says pages 10 to 59.
Those are the four.
That's the
four
one account.
Actual.
No, that's one account. That's account number, that's the Homosassa store petition number 178.
So it's store one.
Yes, store
and
one.
And you have four sets of oranges.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so the original return received in March is where the orange tabs, that's where they start. And those, the actual returns are not numbered because there's too many pages.
No, that's right.
and then, so each return and each petition is separate because they're all different. They're it's not duplicated.
Yeah, I got a yellow, orange, green for
right.
Each of the four.
And that's for each
wait
of the
a minute,
four.
I got a pink.
That pink is the evidence for the that they provided. I only put the evidence in once because it's the same for all
okay,
of them.
Okay, their evidence is the same for all four.
For all four.
So you want to walk me through yellow, orange, green
okay,
on store number one?
Store number one, yep. In the yellow section is a table of contents and a list of what's in here. On page three is the list of all the items that are for the whole packet. List number four is the summary of salient facts and conclusions. Page number five gives you a couple pictures of the store. One afar out so you can see the different streets and things, and one in a little bit closer. They come from our GIS system.
Have you guys inspected the inside of these stores at all recently?
I was in them in 2012, took pictures, walked around. I didn't include the pictures in here. I have them if they're needed, but.
Good, okay.
Page number 6 through 9 is the property record card for this location, store number one. Now this store was remodeled, I believe in 2000, where we're in 13. I think this one was remodeled in 2010. So it does have some older equipment, 1987, but it also has a lot of, 2010. It has a lot of 2010 equipment in it.
When was it built?
I don't know exactly when it was built. My notes say that the first time it shows up on our tax in my notes is 1999, so that's
okay.
What I put as the. Yeah.
So you got some equipment from 99 and some equipment.
I have some from 87 actually. There's equipment on the equipment list which starts on page 6 that shows 1987.
Must
cash registers, which
from other stores.
Yeah.
They did move from a in-town location to this suburban location, and that might reflect why there's some equipment there.
It's older.
Okay.
And then after page nine is when you get to the little orange tab that says 10 to 59, and that's the return that we received in March that we used to arrive at our value.
Okay.
And the first few pages of that return is our CC 405, which is itemized, and all the markings you see on there are my markings when I processed the return, where I marked that I counted them, or that the R stands for removed. They gave me a list that said to remove those items, so I marked it on my list because that goes with our system. But it's, I justify this list to their return when I process the return.
And the dashes signify that they were on their return.
Yes.
A few years ago, well, when we developed the CC 405, the purpose was, if we already had the equipment listed, by mailing out a return with the equipment listed, it helped a lot of the small businesses. They could look and mark, and we had the form approved through the DOR, and it's been very helpful for your average small business person.
Yeah, I could see why it would be.
After the CC 405 is the DR 405 that that Winn-Dixie submitted. They did submit the CC 405, they just didn't use it like we would like them to, but I would like to point out the original installed cost on the front of that DR 405, which is...
What color tab?
You're in the orange tab after the CC 405. Yeah, I don't have a page number because there's so many pages I couldn't get the number. We got to get a stand for this. Yeah, one more page. Okay, yep, there, that one. That's the DR 405 on your right-hand side there. The original installed cost of $2,364,867. That is close, if not exactly, what we got as the original installed cost. I think it was $20 off.
$2,364,867?
Right. And then their estimate of fair value is $217,000 versus...
$217,861?
Yes, that's their estimate of fair value on their original account, where we have it at... 78 is at, we're at 1,436,624 for our value. We started off with the same original installed cost. We just come at different ending values.
Just for the record, because this could end up in circuit court. You took their $2,364,867 and you did some things with it, right?
Correct.
You want to walk me through it?
Well, the original...
You do it for one, then you've done it for four.
Done it for all, yes. The original installed cost is in our CAMA system, and year life is assigned to the assets, meaning it's either a 9-year life, a 6-year life, a 4-year life, whatever the asset calls for. And our CAMA system applies an index and a depreciation to the original installed cost to arrive at a replacement cost new less depreciation.
A CAMA means something, doesn't it?
Computer assisted mass appraisal system.
Yeah, I heard that. Okay.
Where there might be specific assets that we've observed, you know, unusual conditions, we do have the ability to put override values within that system also. So as we inspect things, if, you know, we see anything that we need to adjust, we do have a way to do that within the CAMA system.
So you take the original cost and apply an age life to it?
Correct.
And what's your next step?
And in the system, the age life is tied to our depreciation table. So the we, meaning the staff in the tangible department, assign the age life. The CAMA system applies the index and present worth to come to depreciate it to the replacement cost new.
Okay.
Okay. In your book there, I have a little orange piece of paper sticking out right up there. And this, I didn't mark this in every single petition because the pages are exactly the same, but these are some comparisons that I did. The first sheet says original cost value as allocation. So the first section is the March 2013 return, and CCPA stands for Citrus County Property Appraiser. So on the four accounts, the CCPA had an original installed cost of $6,996,274, and the total value came to $3,395,975. Winn-Dixie, on the same return, their original installed cost was the $6,996,294, so it's $20 different from my original installed cost. And their fair market value is only $598,355. That's what they were asking for, or what they felt their fair market value was. They didn't supply any definition as to why they felt that, or they didn't at the time in March give us any indication other than that they were going to send us something to explain it, but I didn't receive anything to explain it until November.
So we prepared the July 1st tax roll based on that information that we had at the time.
Had from March.
Yes.
Right. So that's the grouping below that says November 2013. That is from the amended returns that they sent to us, that I sent them a letter rejecting, where their original installed cost is now down to $691,391 with a value of $634,377, which is a difference in original installed cost of $6,304,883. Okay, the next page in this series is this is a square foot comparison. The top is the four Winn-Dixie stores with an average square foot. A total square footage is in there, but the stores, I put each store what their square footage was compared to our original installed cost to come up with a square foot per a cost per square foot with an average of $37.83.
That's for TPP.
That's for TPP. The average square foot of those four stores is 46,317 square feet, and the per square foot value is $37.83. And then I compared three grocery stores. Walmart is not included in this because their square footage is large. Compared to the grocery stores in our county. The first store has a $40 per square foot value. The second store has a $67 per square foot. And the third store has a $49.
And those are your values,
That's the square footage against the original installed cost in our system based on their returns. And those three companies have not filed petitions. So I have no reason to believe that they're incorrect or different.
Had Winn-Dixie petitioned their tangible personal property in prior years?
Yes, in 2012, and they didn't provide it. They did not provide evidence, and they did not come to the hearing. And I believe they filed maybe in 2009, I think was the other time, and they did not show at that one either.
Yeah, because I was thinking the bylaw situation triggered this, but they have petitioned prior years.
There was some litigation when they were in the bankruptcy court with the property, with the tax collectors. There was litigation and the property appraisers, and it was ultimately settled out of court. On this chart at the top where we show the per square foot original cost, and we show the assessment at $37.83, I believe.
Yeah, per square foot.
Yeah, that is, we're basically showing the original cost there. And I think we have another sheet where we talk about the trended cost.
Right, but this also, when they sent that amended return that I rejected in November, they were looking, that square footage works out to $4 a square foot is what the value on tangible personal property versus the $37.83 that we're at right now. And they are lower than the other three grocery stores already.
What's the difference between the 37.83 and the 37.76?
37.
The top of that chart. You got an average.
Yeah, that's a.
That's just math.
That's an average per square foot. I think that I don't know what I did there. I can't look at my formula, and I'm sorry, I don't remember.
It wasn't LeCanto, though.
No, it's not LeCanto.
one is probably the weighted number, and one is probably the average of the square foot numbers.
Right, right.
Unless is making this up.
Yeah, no. Because I have a total, and then I have an average, so I think that I did that. But
they're very close.
They are very close. It could be that I changed the formula in one and not the other.
I'll take the point.
Yeah, okay. So the next summary is a comparison of fixtures in our CAMA system.
On page 62?
62, yes. Okay. In our CAMA system, fixtures, and I'm only, in this instance, I only looked in our system for items that had this code, 8009, which is a 9-year life for grocery stores. And so if it has an 8009, then it tells me that it's a grocery store and it's fixtures or shelving. And so the average age of the Winn-Dixie fixtures is 2004, where the average age in the four stores above is 2006. The average original installed cost for Winn-Dixie is $7,493 versus the average for the overall of the four stores above is $8,197.
The four stores at the top of page 62,
mm-hmm.
are those comparable?
They're grocery stores.
Okay, they're comparable.
The third one down, the 12,201 is Walmart, but the other three are grocery stores.
Okay,
so then I took the original installed cost with an index, and then I gave an average value so that you could just see if you take the original installed cost indexed against the original installed cost, you're at a 44% value. Winn-Dixie's at 42% for the same comparison.
Okay.
So they're lower, again, than the other stores.
So really, in a sense, what we're saying is our methodology is consistent within the class of property. We're not treating them any different than we are the other population of subjects in the county. And it's part of the criteria of retaining the presumption.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Page 63, 64, 65, and 66 are some articles I included as to why Winn-Dixie was sold to Buy Low, and it speaks to the fact that it wasn't an arm's length necessarily transaction. It's a fire sale. They were sinking fast, and Buy Low plugged the hole. And I don't have anything specific in here to point out to you, but I included them for your reading pleasure.
Okay.
I included the Florida Department of Revenue life expectancy guidelines because those are the guidelines that I go by on page
67.
67, 68, and 69 are the guidelines. And then I included the depreciation tables that are used in Citrus County. That's on page 70, 71, and 72. And this is the format we use in our county, but the numbers come from the Department of Revenue, and they're updated yearly.
All right.
Okay, page 73 is the instructions that are sent with every tangible tax return. And there's a paragraph on the right side. It says it starts off with original installed cost. And I just like to point out that the original cost must include the total original installed cost of your equipment before any allowance for depreciation. Include sales tax, freight in, handling, and installation costs. If you deducted a trade-in from the invoice price, enter the invoice price. Add back investment credits taken for federal income tax. If you deducted those from the original cost, include all fully depreciated items at original cost, whether written off or not. In the guidelines, provided by the Department of Revenue, which I apologize, you kind of have to flip to the back, but on page 36 of the guidelines, it talks about historical cost or original acquisition cost. The cost of assets as recorded on the books and records seldom departs from the purchase price or rarely reflects an appreciated value of the assets. There's some other things I highlighted once you get a chance back in there. The price paid for the business, if the price paid for the business is lower than fair market value of the assets, then the non-current assets, except for long-term investments, receive a lower allocation than their fair market value and could actually be recorded at a zero cost, which they did have a lot of zeros on their amended return that we rejected in for the, as received in November. Page 77 is the letter I sent to Assessment Technologies declining.
I'm glad you put that in there. That's good.
Declining the acceptance of the return on November 7th. And after that, the little green tab that says pages 78 to 141, that's the amended return that they sent to us that I included it here, but I didn't do anything with it.
And you rejected their amended return because?
It came after the certification of the roll. It was way, we rejected it because we didn't feel that it was indicative of the original installed cost, and it was received.
It reflected fresh start values. And based on their allocation of values from some type of appraisal and sale. So we didn't deem those numbers to be reliable to use in our calculations of replacement costs for reasons that we'll go into on rebuttal of their evidence.
All right, that's good. Gwen, keep going.
Okay, that's the end of petitions 178. And the tabs that correspond for 179, 180, and 181 contain the same exact stuff, except that it's the returns that are specific to those account numbers. So 179 is store number 2 in Beverly Hills. That'll have their return for that. And it shows the same, I mean, it's all just the same. It's just more specific to that. So then
the green is
their amended return.
Okay, and what color is the March return?
Is the orange.
Okay, I'm getting mixed up. Orange is the March return.
Right.
And the green is
the amended
return.
Right, November amended.
And then if we were going to take the time, which we're not, we would walk through 179 and 180 and 181, and we'd have the
same
methodology.
Exactly. Same methodology, same cross-checking of their return against ours, same comparison of original installed cost, same application of the index present worth and the year life tables.
Yeah, you did a lot of work on this.
Thank you.
We ready for your rebuttal of their evidence, or can you walk me through their evidence a little bit first and then rebut it?
Well, I think we can make some comments.
Their evidence is the pink tab or purple in your book. Yeah, I can start. You read it. So
let's take it. Let's go off the record for about 5 minutes, Tiffany. I'm going to get a drink of water. We're continuing our discussion for petitions 178, 179, and 180, 181, and Tiffany White brought up something very significant when we were taking our break. We've all agreed that the exhibit prepared by the property appraiser, items tabbed in yellow for copying purposes will be identified as Exhibit A. And items identified with orange tabs will be identified as either whatever you want to call it, Exhibit B. And then anything tabbed in green will be identified as Exhibit C. And then there's one tab in the back that happens to be pink, and we've all agreed that that'll be Exhibit D as in David. And there are two more tabs, and one which Gwen's gonna tell us about in a minute. The addendums tab is going to be identified as E as in easy, and the TPP guidelines is gonna be identified as F. So when they're copied, we'll all know where we came from, and I'm gonna ask Gwen to tell me what the addendums tab is, because we didn't talk about that.
Okay, addendums. These are just some additional items for your information. They're not specific necessarily to this petition. The first page in this is the 8 criteria, Florida Statute 193.011, and that's just there for your information. The second page is Florida Statute 195.032, the establishment of standards of value. Again, it's not specific to the petitions, but it's information. The third item is a letter dated May 19, 2004 from Joseph Harrison IV, who is special counsel to a corporation that was redacted. And the gist of the letter is that Fresh Start numbers are assets are for accounting purposes only and not to be used in
valuation.
Thank you.
Fresh Start numbers, you said?
Yes.
And Les, what do we mean by Fresh Start numbers?
Well, we mean when a one company acquires a concern, and when they acquire those assets, they do some type of asset allocation through the transaction, and they place a new what they call fair value on those assets. So going forward, their books would reflect that new value. And based on the guidelines from the DOR, one of the notes here, if a business sells and the reported cost of assets by the new owner vary from the cost of the same assets as reported by the previous owner, the property appraiser should use the cost, either historical or original, most indicative of market value.
And you're reading from where?
I'm reading from the tangible guidelines from the Department of Revenue.
Okay.
If it's determined that the original use cost are more indicative of market value, we could use those, but care should be taken to recognize the asset's effective ages at the time of the purchase to avoid allowing excessive depreciation. But it is our, based on the information we provided by the petitioner, we don't believe that these numbers are going to be reliable for our evaluation purposes.
Will IRS let anybody use Fresh Start numbers? I don't know.
I'm not
positive of that.
Yeah. Okay, keep going, Glenn, please.
Okay, the next few pages are pages out of Marshall Valuation Services as far as depreciation and cost indexes and multipliers. And I didn't use any of these pages specifically in my value, but they back up the Department of Revenue tables, and they're just here for information. I don't have page numbers on these, and I apologize.
That's right.
But at the end of the Marshall valuation, there's a page at the top. It says definition of tangible personal property. I think I put an orange little sticky paper for you on that page. Yeah, the first one. Go back. Okay, up at the top, I highlighted for you just a sentence. This comes out of the guidelines also, where it says that...
this is the training materials.
Yeah, the training materials for magistrates. That I'm trying to find the sentence. Include the vehicular items of the state constitution and elsewhere defined capable of manual possession and whose chief value is intrinsic to the article itself. That's intrinsic to the article itself is a term we cling to in tangible personal property.
I believe the valuation should be specific to those assets located in Citrus County and that the criteria should be applied to those specific assets.
Yes.
Okay.
So this, again, is just some more reading. And then on the next page, I highlighted...
This is from the TPP guidelines.
This section is from the magistrate training that Les got off the Department of Revenue website.
as the definition of tangible personal property.
All right.
Okay, we're gonna skip the, to the next page where the top of the page says the valuation standard for Fresh Start over on the, on your right there. This is from an article that was, it's getting a fresh start after chapter 11, it's from June 2011. The valuation standard for Fresh Start accounting projects is fair value, which is defined in FASB ASC 820. Fair value measures and disclosures as the price that would be received to sell an asset or paid to transfer a liability in an orderly transaction between market participants at the measurement date. An orderly transaction is defined as one that includes exposure to the market for a period prior to the measurement date to allow for marketing activities that are usual and customary for a transaction involving similar assets or liabilities. Therefore, a forced liquidation or distressed sale is not indicative of fair value.
We just included that article from these two gentlemen.
Yeah. And then, yeah, the rest of it is just reference material as far as there's some lawsuits in here that back up the tangible items.
Before we get into your evidence, though, we would like to read from the magistrate training, being how we did use a cost approach to value these assets.
Okay.
We'd like to read you one paragraph there to sum up.
The cost approach.
Which?
I'm sorry, it's that second tab. But yeah, right, that paragraph right there. The cost approach considers the cost that a prudent purchaser would pay to acquire an equally desirable substitute on the open market. The cost approach simply values the original reproduction or replacement cost of the property less an allowance for depreciation. In the absence of comparable sales data, the manual of instructions recommends the use of the cost approach by county appraisers to determine the just value of tangible personal property.
And that's also from the magistrate's training?
Yes. The last section of the book has the TPP guidelines as put forth by the Florida Department of Revenue, and there's several pages in there that speak to the, I read to you once already from 36 and 37. There's some more information on 38.
Do we know what year these guidelines are dated?
I don't know.
Go to the front page.
Yeah, it doesn't say. I looked just up there.
We don't have a date, but we can certainly.
Yeah.
Should have a date where they update. Go to the last page.
1997. And it's subsequently amended.
So they made some amendments, but. All right.
All right.
Okay.
You want to start with their evidence, the rebuttal, and walking through it?
You have some stuff highlighted in yellow in here.
We read that to you. Your copy of what we read.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
From the manual of instructions mainly.
You read the yellow.
Yes.
All right, now what was your question again, Les?
Well, whenever you're ready to start with walking through their evidence
and
rebuttal.
Okay. And we identified that the petitioner's evidence is section D as in David.
Right.
So yeah, if you could walk me through that, that would be very helpful.
Yeah, he's got the cover letter. Yeah, we're gonna go back one page.
Yeah,
on that's the cover letter there, so. Yeah, I'm not gonna read from this, but basically this, is the letter that describes the evidence that they submitted to us. And it says that in March 2012, Winn-Dixie's stores and fixtures conveyed to Bylo for continued grocery operation. And then they talk about the price of all the personal property assets is reflected in the attached appraisal. And I'd like to point out that we did not receive an entire appraisal. We received excerpts from a study. We did not receive an appraisal. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20 pages is all that we received. And they're not consecutive pages. They're pieces of.
And they're excerpts?
Excerpts. It says that they've utilized an individual asset value for each asset in the stores, and that they were included in the amended 2013 returns. And there is, in the 2013 returns, there are, is a list of assets with their fair value, and they put an acquisition date of 2012 on all of those items. And then they say that they're providing following backup information for our review. They've included a summary sheet reflecting the calculation of total transaction depreciation. Their summary sheet, which is the second page of this.
Taxpayer opinion of value?
Yes. It shows the subject property. Then they take out non-taxable. They removed leasehold improvements, software, automobiles, HVAC, tractors and trailers. And I would submit that leasehold improvements should not have been removed from that.
We certainly don't have enough detail to verify that they would be leasehold improvements that were assessed with the real property,
right,
based on what we've received here.
So they're showing how they came up with the values for each store that they put on their amended returns, which I'll say again, we rejected.
Of the eight items listed, the only one you think shouldn't have been taken out was leasehold improvements?
Yes. We don't have automobiles in Citrus County. We don't have tractors and trailers in Citrus County, so I wouldn't be assessing those anyhow. The HVAC, there's not a lot of detail there, so I'm assuming that they're counting the big units on top of the building. That would be part of the real property, but again, we don't have any detail to tell us what they are. The leasehold improvements, I would want to see. They have leasehold improvements on their March return, and they don't have them on the amended return.
No justification.
You guys don't value automobiles, and what else did you say?
The tractors and trailers. We don't have any located for Winn-Dixie. There is none here. Further into their study here, they have that they studied stores in Jacksonville, Homestead, Marathon, Miami, Orange Park, St. Augustine. They didn't study any stores in Citrus County, Marion County, Levy County, Hernando County. And they're basing their allocations on the assets at those stores and the condition of the assets in those locations. They're not taking into account the rural nature of our county or the location of our stores at all. And the reason they have tractor trailers on there is because Jacksonville is the distribution center, and that's where they have all their tractor trailers.
Yeah.
It even says their number two on this first page again says excerpts from Duff and Phelps appraisal. But it's not the whole thing. It's just excerpts from.
Where do you see the word excerpt?
On this, go back to the front, to the letter.
Item two.
Item two in the letter there. Excerpts from Duff and Phelps appraisal.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for pointing it out.
Yeah. Their number three on that same page says purchase price listing per store of assets which were given value in the buy low transaction, number two above, plus 2012 additions. They have 2012 as the acquisition date for everything. So, I didn't accept that return, but that's just a thing there. I mean, they don't have any delineation of any other purchase year. They're just saying that they purchased everything in 2012. And then they're saying that they included the amended returns for tax year 2013 and that they reflect the purchase price of assets in place of as of the March 2012 acquisition. And again, we did not accept the amended return. And if you go through, I think, Les, you have some pages you highlighted. Yeah, he's got some highlighted areas that he wanted to bring to your attention.
Okay.
Well, basically, I guess one of the things, if we start out with, I think it's the third page down where they have the little taxpayer's opinion of value.
That one right there.
In that third little spreadsheet area they have at the bottom, they have a section called G, and underneath it they say percent depreciated from the transaction above. So that would indicate that they had made some kind of allocation from the sale. So the first thing would be that it's the sale of all these assets, and they've made an allocation to the tangible personal property. So I just want to establish that it is an allocation. We don't have a formal appraisal where they've done appraisal of just those specific assets, starting with, you know, replacement costs new of the specific assets in Citrus County. And then moving on to the next page, they have an area, I think it would be the third paragraph. It starts out with, our analysis is intended for financial reporting purposes and cannot be used for any other purpose.
Yeah, that page, right.
And then in the last paragraph on that page, it indicates that they're using this fair value definition, and it defines it there. And I would just point out that it doesn't necessarily represent the definition of just value under Florida statute. So the purpose was to arrive at a defined value that's somewhat different than our statutory value. And then the next page, they indicate that they had, they describe some subject locations, and they talk about the scope of the asset valuation. And they go into the fact that they, as Gwen mentioned, they inspected some 18 locations in Jacksonville, Florida, and Miami, Florida. That's in the third paragraph. And they say they've identified these two regions as being representative of the entire store portfolio of Winn-Dixie, age, style, rebuild, etc. And we don't have any other information included to show us how, in fact, they are representative of the store assets in Citrus County.
Mm-hmm.
Nor do we have the author of the appraisal that we could ask him questions in cross-examination. So that's, most of this does become somewhat hearsay. And we would just say that because we have to value the specific assets, that it further reduces the credibility of the allocation. And then they do indicate that they use the value in use as the highest and best use in their concept of value. We won't disagree. We're a value and exchange state, but it was a going concern from what they've stated, and we understand. And then they have another section that's kind of called introduction. And that just verifies, it looks like this. It's got introduction, and it says background. It's a little further back in their data, about halfway through, I would say.
Okay.
Yep.
Is he there?
Yep.
Okay. And they do initiate under background in the last sentence in that first paragraph that the analysis has been performed as of the acquisition date. So it is not a valuation as of January 1st, 2013. And that also further reiterates that it was for financial reporting purposes. And then they do indicate that they obtained other documentation, in the way, examples being fixed asset ledgers and other types of financial documents from the company. And they also say they obtained retail store remodel dates. So there's almost two pages there, maybe three, of items that they say they obtained to analyze in preparing whatever work they've done. Well, we don't have the complete appraisal, and they didn't share any of these documents with us, such as these fixed asset ledgers. It could have been information that they thought we were over-assessing. They could have provided it. Apparently, their appraiser obtained it all from the company. At the bottom of the page, under where it says procedures.
Keep going.
I think it's
a couple more. Not yet. Procedures. Yep, there you go.
At the very bottom, the last sentence says application of a derivation of the income approach, the excess earnings method, to estimate the fair value of the subject personal property assets. We don't have, you know, any of the calculations or assumptions that would show us how, in fact, they arrived at the asset values through these methodologies. And I would just add that. I think that may be, that's really everything else. There's some background on the grocery store industry. They list the original cost again. And everything else is kind of background in there, just an asset listing that Gwen's already covered. I guess, did you want to go through these?
Yeah, I was going to.
So we just have a few short general statements in rebuttal. Now that we've gone through their information, we'll read those to you, and I think that'll kind of close
out. Can I get a copy of your rebuttal?
Yeah, I can give you that.
She's done reading it?
Yeah, well, I'll read off of his if you want. That way you can follow along and make notes.
Okay.
Okay, so the first is just the Higgs Good case, which is in the addendums. Concerning amended returns and some data used in the appraisal has not been provided to the property appraiser. They didn't give us any of their backup information. The information provided by the petitioner's representative fails to rise to the level of credible, relevant evidence that would represent a preponderance of evidence needed to overcome the property appraiser's presumption or to satisfy the requirements of 193.011 in establishing just value. The evidence in the form of appraisal excerpts represents a price allocation. It is not an appraisal, but an opinion of value gleaned from summary pages of an appraisal of all Florida assets without the supporting details on the methodology and calculations used specific to the assets under this appeal. The purpose of the appraisal referenced is not for the purposes of establishing just value for ad valorem purposes, but for establishing fair value for financial reporting purposes, and therefore would not satisfy the requirements of 193.011. The appraisal excerpts and reformatted data from the appraisal represent hearsay evidence, and the actual author is not present as a witness to provide testimony or be cross-examined by the property appraiser. Therefore, little or no weight should be placed on this evidence. The equipment inspected was not the specific equipment that is the subject of this appeal located in Citrus County. The appraisal would not satisfy the requirements for consideration of cost, location, age, and condition as it relates to the specific assets in Citrus County. Price allocations from several sales, including distressed sales like this one, would produce widely varying values for similar equipment. And then we just included the definition of salvage, which comes out of the guidelines. The amount expressed in terms of money that may be expected for the whole property or component of the whole property that is retired from service for use elsewhere. Salvage value can be distinguished from scrap value, which is the amount expressed in terms of money that could be realized for the property if it were sold for its material content, not a productive use.
And so really we left that salvage definition because it appears that their allocation and what they're trying to establish really is a salvage value for equipment. They're almost at the salvage value level for equipment that's in a ongoing concern. Many of it's been remodeled and has in-service dates ranging from, what, 2004 all the way up.
Up, right, yeah.
So the amended return that you got in November kind of looks like salvage value?
Yes.
Yes.
And what's the little statement at the bottom of that page?
The little handwritten statement.
Well, I'm sorry that got on here, but that was, basically they're looking to get a 13% good on all the equipment in Citrus County.
Yeah, they took 87% depreciation.
Regardless of the vintage of the specific equipment. Thought of that late meeting.
Yeah.
Regardless of age, right?
Right.
Regardless of vintage.
All right, anything else?
I don't have anything else.
No, we would just kind of like Mr. Steelfox.
I wanted Robert to say something that we so we could prove he was here.
We'll get him on the record.
I'm getting paid by the hour, not by the word.
Well, that's nice. That's nice.
We feel that we provided the evidence to show we considered the criteria that's required in order to retain a presumption. We don't believe the petitioner's evidence rose to the level of a preponderance of evidence to show that our property value here is not at just value, or that certainly we're assessing this property using a methodology that's different from everybody else in that same class.
Did you have any discussions with them at all?
No, they did not contact us in any way.
They probably had bigger areas to deal with, is what I believe.
Tiffany, did you have any contacts with any of these people?
Yes.
Just emails or, yeah. Okay,
Anything that any contact between with the clerk's office would be
Entered into evidence. Okay,
And that is unusual not to have some contact with tax representatives.
Yeah, just for the record, we're gonna temporarily end our discussion for the four TPP petitions 178 through 181, and just for the record, it's 2:45. Thank you very much. Have a nice weekend.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
You too.
This is yours. You can talk to him about his notes and stuff.
We're all done.
What's up?
Yeah, we just wish you a Merry Christmas, a safe trip.